My name is John Shuck. My website is johnshuck.com, johnshuck.com, johnshuck.com. I'm a Presbyterian Church USA minister. I have been one for 27 years. I'm currently on sabbatical. This is a sermon. And the sermon, I have notes. I always have notes. My video expertise is very limited. It's just me. But it's a video. You can also see it on audio. And you can read the text. johnshuck.com. johnshuck.com. The title of the sermon is Resist the Initiation. The text is from the Secret Revelation of John. And the Secret Revelation of John is a Gnostic text that was discovered just this last century, although it was written before at least 180, because Church Father Irenaeus roundly condemned it. It's considered a Gnostic text, the Secret Revelation of John. So it's not to be confused with Revelation to John in the New Testament. This is a very different text. I'll tell more about it as we go along, but let me just read it first. Therefore I, the perfect providence pronoia of the all, changed into my seed. For I existed from the first, traveling on every road. For I am the wealth of the light. I am the remembrance of the fullness. I traveled into the vastness of the dark, and I persevered until I entered the midst of the prison. And I entered the midst of their prison, which is the prison of the body. And I said, whoever hears, arise from lethargic sleep. And he wept, shedding tears, heavy tears. He wiped from himself. And he said, who is it who calls my name? And from where does this hope come to me, who am dwelling in the fetters of the prison? And I said, I am the providence pronoia of the pure light. I am the thought of the virginal spirit, the one who raises you to the place of honor. Arise and remember that you are the one who has heard, and follow your route, which is I, the compassionate. Fortify yourself against the angels of poverty and the demons of chaos and all those who ensnare you. And be watchful of the lethargic sleep and the garment of the inside of Hades. And I raised him up and sealed him with the light of the water with five seals, so that death would not have power over him from this day on. Today is Sunday, May 10th, 2020, Mother's Day. The lockdown continues. Some states are easing restrictions. It is difficult to maintain this illusion of a pandemic as people see that despite the news reports, we don't seem to be dropping dead of a disease. The lockdown has proven to be effective to the agenda of control. The lockdown may ease, but it will return. It will return under the disguise of a virus returning. There is no virus to speak of in the first place. Now that they have done it, this lockdown, gradually and nicely, they will do it again. Not so gradual. Maybe not so nice next time. The question is not, was the lockdown the best way to respond to this virus? The virus, like the hijackers on 9/11, is the patsy. It's the central part of the illusion. COVID is a false flag against nature. The lockdown was the plan all along. And no matter how nice the bureaucrats are in imposing it, no matter the justification for it, the lockdown and the subsequent controlled demolition of the global economy is the point. This is the collapse that peak oil researchers have been predicting for years. The difference from what has happened and from what was expected to happen, is the psychological manipulation. If we were in one of James Howard Kunstler's novels, we would know it, but we are not. The elites have been preparing for this for a long time, and they have a plan for you. Death or complete submission. They're so good at it that those who submit will praise their saviors. I would rather live in Kunstler's world, a world made by hand, the name of one of his novels, than this prison the elites have prepared for us. At least Kunstler's world will be chaotic, but free. What is coming will be very well organized, just like the signs and the friendly voice guiding you up one row, down the other in your supermarket. Safe, safe, safe. They are keeping us safe. They are keeping us safe. They are keeping us safe. Inject me with a vaccine. Monitor my every move. Give me a lifetime income. Thank you, Master, for keeping me safe. In my neighborhood, the supermarket is more and more regimented with signage and audio instructions to keep social distance. I would say about 75% of the people, including all the employees, now wear masks. Of course, wearing a mask is silly. Even if there was a virus, and I do not think there is such a thing except as a mythological construct, why would healthy people be forced by social pressure and actual pressure to wear masks, quarantine, and social distance? It's obvious that humankind would not deal with a pandemic in this way if it were real. The only reason we think it is normal is because we're told to do so. Much like 9/11, we were told that hijackers destroyed the buildings. That was a fiction, a lie. But we were told, and are still told, that happened. People believe what they are told, especially when the telling is done by those we have been conditioned to trust. The despair for me is due to the gullibility of the human race. We are masked, isolated, trembling in fear, praising the abolition of all our rights for well-crafted talking points that the oppressors provide for us and for all of their murder hornets who run the comments pages. It's selfish to demand your rights, for example. Or if you don't wear a mask, isolate and obey, you're not being kind. Well, none of that is true. How many deaths have resulted and will result with nearly 400,000 Oregonians out of work due to the solution to this supposed problem? The solution is killing us. The solution is what was designed in the first place. The problem is a false flag against nature. A central aspect of this psyop is the Stockholm syndrome. People learn to relax and love their oppression. We have more time to make dance videos. We get to keep our phone. They let us walk the dog. People telling us to stand in lines are so nice. We should just be happy. Church on Zoom is fun. They care so much, and they are keeping us safe. What's the bottom line of this so far? I first learned of peak oil in 2006 by watching the film The End of Suburbia. And there's a point at which the rate of oil production peaks, and then it falls. And this is crucial because we live and move and have our being in oil. The human population of Earth is directly proportional to the rate of the production of oil. But basically, peak oil boils down to this logical truth. An infinite growth economy cannot exist on a finite planet. At some point, we hit our limits. I worried over peak oil, and I wrote post after post about it and read about it for quite some time, for years. What would the aftermath of the peak of global oil production do? James Howard Kunstler has been a spokesperson for What Will Happen, and he wrote several books, including a series of novels about a post-peak oil future, a dystopia in which the population is forced to go back to a pre-oil existence. It was a challenge to get anyone interested in the topic because, one, it was too depressing, and two, it was not discussed in the mainstream media except to dismiss it. I assumed that sometime around now, the 2020s, we would feel the effects of this peak and its subsequent economic contraction and social collapse. However, I did not expect what happened. I didn't think the collapse would be so controlled. And that is why I see COVID as a controlled demolition of the economy. This is not my phrase. I picked it up from James Corbett from the Corbett Report. Those who really run the world, from managing the money supply to the media, have known this was coming. They just didn't tell us. COVID is, in reality, the beginning of the final chapter of managing peak oil and collapse. This involves thinning the population and monitoring and controlling the remaining population. I can't emphasize enough the importance of the work of James Corbett of the Corbett Report in terms of getting a handle on the control that is being implemented from massive, extensive surveillance and control of movement, employment, and survival. Watch him, and you'll find people he has interviewed who have insights and information you need to see. James Corbett, Corbett Report. Along with James Corbett, I recommend David Icke. Yes, the reptilian guy. If you believe in God, you are as screwy as him. If you don't believe in God, you're still as screwy as him. Everyone has some understanding of the big picture of how it all works. The question is, in the words of Jesus, how can you know about spiritual things when you don't understand earthly things? David Icke gets the earthly things, and probably the spiritual things too. Check out his book on 9/11, Trigger. He's been banned from Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, I don't know, wherever else. You don't get banned for providing false information. You get banned because the information is too close to the truth for the powerful elites you are exposing. Those of us who are saying what is contrary to the mainstream media narrative are being removed from the platforms. The vast majority of people will be happy with that, as people like me are too depressing and dangerous anyway. Evil wins in this world. Evil is disguised as the friendly media personality who wants you to be happy staying home, wearing a mask, 6 feet apart from another human, and thus saving lives. Well, let others go do that. Meanwhile, the few of us who cannot bear that delusion, who cannot live as slaves in this world, no matter how nice the slavery, we'll go to our deaths, but we won't go silently. I'm offering my last thoughts before I go down. I don't know how much longer I will have, but while I have time and while you can find me, I will offer my thoughts. My contribution to this has to do with the spirituality of it all. What is happening to us in terms of the spiritual forces at work? In my last sermon, I invited you to pick up your journal and to answer some questions with as much depth as possible. Those questions are, who are you? What happens to you when you die? What is this existence? Who made it? Who controls it? What is the good? What is the origin and role of evil? What is the long plan of both evil and good? How do you see yourself in this plan? The Gnostic text, The Secret Revelation to John, may be helpful to you. I preached a sermon on it a few years ago. The world we see, according to this text, is the creation of the psychopathic demiurge called Yaldabaoth. Human beings, however, are superior to him. We have light that comes from the eternal realm. We forget who we are while we are here because of the evil Yaldabaoth, but we can awaken. Nonetheless, this world is controlled by evil. That's not a metaphor or a symbol. This is real. There are evil entities who rule our world, and they are enacting a plan upon us now. COVID is the implementation of that plan. I think of these things in spiritual terms, not just geopolitics, as I don't think geopolitics is broad enough a subject area to make sense of what is happening. That is why people who talk about these spiritual aspects, like David Icke, are regarded as crazy and so forth. But speaking for myself, I cannot survive emotionally if I don't have a larger spiritual picture. It's too overwhelming. The danger of not having a spiritual grounding that is big enough to understand the reality and presence of evil is that we simply allow the evil in its deceptive disguise to rule us. Even as evil is doing things to us, making us wear masks, social distance, lose our jobs, for example, we think of it as good. Evil is nothing if not deceptive. But we need to have an understanding of reality that defeats evil, or at least the possibility of defeating evil. Let's look at masks. There's an important film I recommend called The Characteristics of Initiation Ritual by Truth Stream Media. The Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual. I'll provide a link to it in the text. It's only 12 and a half minutes, and it suggests that we are unwitting subjects of an initiation ritual. We are being transformed into something else. The video does not spell out to what it is we are being transformed or who is doing it. That's for you and for me to decide. But it does point out how rituals work, and the video invites us to look at what is happening to us through this lens of initiation ritual. The use of isolation through quarantines of healthy people, social distancing, and mask wearing are part of an initiation process to permanently separate us from one another, thus preparing us for a different kind of existence led by those who are conducting this ritual. I'm going to read that again because that's the central aspect of this point I'm trying to make today. The use of isolation through quarantines of healthy people, social distancing, and mask wearing, and all of that goes on with it, all the stuff that we're supposed to be doing, are part of an initiation process to permanently separate us from one another, thus preparing us for a different kind of existence led by those who are conducting this ritual. The imposition of masks upon the human population has nothing to do with health, even as this is what we're told it's about. These masks, as I see it, are tools of a ritual transformation. We are being initiated to die to all of our previous relationships. 6 feet apart. Why 6 feet? It has nothing to do with germs or how far you can spit or how far this virus can buzz around. 6 feet has symbolic weight. Symbols and messaging are received deep within us, and we are being messaged 24/7. So what is the significance of 6 feet? Well, we bury people 6 feet under the ground. 6 feet under. We're dying to one another. You are 6 feet from me. You are dangerous. You are unhealthy. You are diseased. Or maybe I'm diseased. You are a corpse. Or I am. I need to be 6 feet from you, the same distance the dead must be from the living. You may have noticed how this has affected you already. Honestly, how do you feel about others now? Are you especially conscious about keeping distance? Do you avert your eyes? Do you go to the other side, even if you don't really think you need to? Has that changed you at all? When was the last time you shook hands with someone or hugged someone? Or even put your hand on the shoulder of someone you don't live with? Touch has been banished, forbidden, unclean, diseased. And yet touch is a basic human need. It isn't an extra. We do not survive without touch. That's what it means to be human. Who survives without touch? Robots. On my walk with my dogs, I hardly ever stop anymore and have our dogs talk with each other now. I overheard a woman telling her child as she was approaching us that dogs need to observe social distance too. Thankfully, I had another experience that day that is becoming more and more rare. A woman and her two daughters, not wearing masks, stopped to pet my dogs, as children would do in the time before COVID. We were not social distancing. The children petted the dogs with me there holding the dogs. They thanked me. I thanked them. And this was some of the first quasi-human contact I've had since this COVID exercise, petting the same dog together. We can't worship together. I've not prayed at the Islamic Center. Haven't even seen those folks for well over a month now. 2 months. I'm sure you feel the same thing. It's as if I'm dying in my relationships with others. I pastored a church, but church was never about hearing a sermon from the minister. It was about human contact. If there is a silver lining in all of this, perhaps if this lockdown is ever lifted, or if we just disobey and have human contact anyway, maybe we will regard touch and human contact more consciously than we have previously. We are, I believe, ritually enacting, without our awareness, of course, the death of our humanity. This isolation and distancing is about that. It's designed to separate us from each other on the deepest levels of human interaction. In the supermarket, we go up one row, down another, following the arrows, listening to the sound system tell you to stay apart for your health. We are being reborn as something quite different from who we are. We are being reborn as robots. We are being reborn to connect virtually through screens and through technology to each other and to our masters. The masks, social distancing, smearing everything we touch with disinfectant, banning human touch in gatherings, forced walking up one row down another, defining us in categories of essential versus non-essential, dividing us in so many ways, requiring us to communicate through social media, technology, and more, is the first step of this satanic ritual to transform us into non-human or perhaps transhuman entities. The masks themselves are part of this initiation ritual. You cannot see people's faces. You cannot read expressions. We are off limits to each other because of these masks and our distance. More than that, we are subject to those who have masked us. We call them our saviors, our heroes, the medical establishment who keeps us safe, and so forth. But you know, slaves wore masks as signs of their submission. The Taliban masks women as they are property of the men. I'm saying that this whole experience is not about health, that's for sure. It's not about containing a virus. And if it weren't for 24/7 media brainwashing, and I mean that literally, our brains are being sterilized so they can be reformatted, if it weren't for that, we would all see this as ridiculous. The isolation, distancing, mask wearing, robotic standing in lines, communicating by artificial technology is the point. And it will last as long as it needs to last, even if it goes away for a while and comes back. It will last as long as it needs to last in order to transform us into obedient robots for our masters. And when that is complete, we will have no reason to object to complete surveillance and control of all of our movements. We will have become, for all intents and purposes, robots. I'm not interested in that existence. Thus, I will not wear a mask, and I try to disobey and resist the isolation and distancing as much as I can. If I continue to resist, I will not survive this new world. And that's fine with me, as I would rather be dead than be enslaved. This evil will win in the short term, and the short term could be centuries. Your choice will have to come at some point, whether the mask or the mandatory vaccine, as to whether you will submit or not. The vaccine will have nothing to do with any fake virus. It's a fake vaccine. It will be a concoction of poison, surveillance, who knows. It won't be good. I advise not taking it. But it will be a hard choice because you will not be able to travel, work, buy, or sell without it. Hopefully there will be off-the-grid communities, but I don't know. Again, I refer you to James Corbett, who has written and produced videos and interviews about this topic. Well, so where's the hope, John? Honestly, my hope, and I have not really put it this way before, quite different from what I used to be. My hope is supernatural. Supernatural intervention. The revealing of Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, and the return of Jesus, peace be upon him, is the only hope I have now. And when all that happens, that timing is not ours. Only they can awaken us, as obviously we seem to be unable to awaken each other. I wrote on my Facebook page this week, 2 years ago, maybe even 2 months ago, I don't think I would say what I'm saying now. We will need literal supernatural intervention for humanity to be saved from this evil darkness that is making its final attack upon us. Maybe that is why I went to Karbala to learn about Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. I pray that he reveals himself soon, and with Nabi Isa, peace be upon him, awaken and heal us. I put my trust and my prayer there now. I pray for the strength to be faithful. I'm going to close with something I think is positive. I began the sermon with the Gnostic text, The Secret Revelation to John. I will close with it. I offer it to you to embrace it as your own. From The Secret Revelation to John, chapter 25, 1 through 6, and 26, 21 through 33. Therefore I, the perfect providence, pronoia of the all, changed into my seed. For I existed from the first, traveling on every road. For I am the wealth of the light. I am the remembrance of the fullness. I traveled into the vastness of the dark, and I persevered until I entered the midst of the prison. And I entered the midst of their prison, which is the prison of the body. And I said, whoever hears, arise from lethargic sleep. And he wept, shedding tears, heavy tears he wiped from himself. And he said, who is it who calls my name? And from where does this hope come to me, who am dwelling in the fetters of the prison? And I said, I am the providence, pronoia of the pure light. I am the thought of the virginal spirit, the one who raises you to the place of honor. Arise and remember that you are the one who has heard, and follow your root, which is I, the compassionate. Fortify yourself against the angels of poverty and the demons of chaos and all those who ensnare you, and be watchful of the lethargic sleep and the garment of the inside of Hades. And I raised him up and sealed him with the light of the water with five seals, so that death would not have power over him from this day on. That is the secret revelation to John, not to be confused with the New Testament revelation, but a Gnostic text. These are the most dangerous times to be alive. Perhaps that is why you are alive. This is the adventure. You and I are alive during the apocalypse. How cool is that? Arise and remember who you are. Amen.